This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Wow, it is Friday, September 28th. We're live. Hey, if you haven't talked to me in a while, you can call me. That includes all family members and friends as well. Raymond's here with me today.
Hi.
Or like people like to say on the street, Producer Raymond. That's what they like to call you. We're live, so you can call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. So I just got back from Brazil, where I was telling you I was going for ever and ever. I got back yesterday afternoon. I feel like I've been run over by a truck. I traveled for 22 hours. I mean, between like driving to the airport and then having a layover at JFK and doing customs and all that stuff. 22 hours. So I feel like I could sleep for a week, but today I want to talk about what I missed in America, which is something pretty fucking big, and then tell you all about Brazil. So Raymond, I wasn't on the internet. I was like on WhatsApp. Everyone talks to each other on WhatsApp over there. You know,
right.
Do it for free. So I wasn't on the internet. I wasn't on the television, and I came home and I sort of like turned on my, you know, cellular data or whatever. And I went to social media and it was like a shit show is all I can describe it as, like a complete and utter shit show. So catch me up on what's been going on with Brett Kavanaugh, his confirmation hearing, and the reaction of people and the internet, all that shit. Give me a thing.
Okay, so I'm caught off guard, and I only say that because I'm probably going to miss some of the like newsy parts of this, I'll give you just sort of the general idea.
Yeah.
So Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court nominee, and all these hearings have been going on for the past couple weeks, but just this week, finally, the news broke about a story about sexual assault. Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. Talking about experience she had being assaulted by Brett and his friend in high school at a party. There are up to four allegations now. One or two of them are being represented by Michael Avenatti, who's the guy who's representing Stormy Daniels as well. So he's gotten involved with this. But the big thing that happened is that Dr. Ford testified in front of the Senate yesterday. So there was this whole day-long hearings, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to watch it, but at the end, I felt like I kind of wanted to at least watch her testimony. Like, I was like, I don't need to see the whole day of all these old white men sort of talking, but I felt like I wanted to sort of bear witness to her telling her story. So that was really amazing. And I think there's a huge outpouring of support for Dr. Ford, and that's at least what I saw online. And I felt that way too. I cried while watching it. I think probably anyone who has been assaulted or loves someone probably recognized a lot of the things that she talked about in her testimony. And it was really fascinating because she is a psychologist. She's like a professor of psychology and has a private practice on this stuff. So her ability to really talk about what happened to her and how the body and how memory works with trauma and things like that, and the way she talked about the ramifications and how it came up in couples counseling and, you know, it, like, because of this random thing, they're building a house, and she felt like she wanted a second front door. And it was this thing of, like, she needed an extra exit. And her husband was like, why do you need a second front door? And this sort of unlocked this whole memory. But it was just, I was really impressed by there being that included in the conversation this time, that I think people don't even really know what trauma looks like or the after effects of sexual assaults and sexual trauma. So we always think that people are acting weird, or we think that the way that they're acting or means a certain thing. But her ability to both sort of tell her story in that very perfect way that all women do, which is that she was just like just sort of sharp enough and just honest enough, but just vulnerable enough and just soft enough. She was like taking care of the feelings of like everyone in that room while also making sure she was taking care of herself. So that was like amazing to watch, but also I think infuriating, especially if you stayed for the rest of the hearings and you would just hear all these men just basically gaslighting the fuck out of the whole situation. And, you know, apologizing to Brett Kavanaugh for like having his life ruined because basically he's fucking up his own job interview. So there was a huge pushback. There's a lot that the hearings went on forever. They were supposed to go to a vote this morning. It got postponed. Two women like confronted Senator Jeff Flake in an elevator after he said he was going to vote yes on Kavanaugh. And then because of that, all the stuff got delayed. So now I think they're going to extend it. There's going to be an FBI investigation actually into this claim to dig deeper into the whole situation. So be on the lookout for another full week of fucked up news and sexual assault that you can catch up on, Tristan.
Oh my God. I mean,
yeah.
What strikes me about the little that I have caught up on, a couple things, which is somehow whoever is advising Kavanaugh or Kavanaugh himself decided not to approach this with humility or honesty or even sensitivity, but it's like he got real jacked up and full of rage like 20 yeah. minutes into him being questioned. Yes. And he sort of stands in now for every entitled guy who's like, what do you mean? I didn't do anything wrong. Shut up, bitch. You know, like he's just right. like acting out. He's like acting out this narrative. He's both, yeah. he's telling his own story, obviously, which is right. But it's also like so suggestive of this larger narrative of him being totally clueless and yet totally aggressive and defensive. And he won't even listen to the possibility that he did something wrong. He won't even yeah. consider it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with him overall, like mysterious gambling debts that have disappeared. And apparently also this drinking problem that has come out, you know, and things like that. So he's a really pretty terrible nominee all around and not really what you would think of as a temperament of a judge. I mean, he went on some like rant about how it was somehow related to like conspiracy theorists and the Clintons and how he was going to exact revenge if this Supreme Court nominee didn't go through. And I was like, wow, that is some entitlement. That is some really fucking intense entitlement that like he does, you know, he somehow deserves the Supreme Court and it's being taken away from him. Yeah.
It's kind of shocking. It's both shocking and not. Like, I know this is
right.
the way.
It's
I
not,
know
this is, it's not no. surprising, but it's still shocking.
Yeah, you know because I mean? It's like, I yeah. know this is what Brett Kavanaugh thinks, but I thought maybe someone would handle him and advise him to do this.
No, but he's Trump's guy, and so he's doing it in Trump's way, which is to bluster and push through and deny, and make himself a victim. I mean, like, Trump has, like, 19 sexual assault charges sitting in, like, you know, in different boxes across the country from different people, like different allegations, and they haven't been addressed. So it's not really a surprise that they're basically going to sort of do the exact same thing, you know, with their guy in the Supreme Court.
My concern about this FBI probe is the FBI answers to Trump.
Yeah.
Can't he suppress anything they find? Can't he spin it? Well, can't he tell them?
One of the things that they talked about a lot in the process yesterday is that FBIs just investigate. So literally all they're going to do is just conduct a shit ton of interviews and then compile them into a report and then release the report. And then it's up to the Senate to figure out what to do. But what I think some people are maybe hoping is that with this week is that the other allegations are going to come forward and then those are going to also have to be investigated and that might blow it wider open. You know, a lot of people are also just really cynical and they really feel like it's sort of a lot of us live through Anita Hill ordeal, and that motherfucker's still sitting on the Supreme Court right now. You know what I mean?
Exactly. He's there forever. He's there for, you know, right. Everyone's like, oh God, it's like another Anita Hill situation. There. And I'm like, but he got confirmed.
He locked up. He shut his trap during that confirmation hearing and didn't say shit. And then he's basically been silent the entire time, but he's still sitting there collecting a paycheck and affecting our lives, which I don't know. Have you seen the HBO movie Confirmation that's about Anita Hill and the hearings with Kerry Washington? I highly recommend it because I was pretty young. I was actually in high school when it happened, and so it was interesting to see like what my memories of it as a teenager based on the messages I was getting versus what was actually, you know, happening in the real life or whatever. So if you have HBO and you want to sort of help process what's going on without actually looking directly at Brett Kavanaugh's face, I recommend watching Confirmation on HBO.
Okay, but let's talk for a minute about trauma, because a lot of people in my feed, well, first of all, we know that people who were assigned female at birth are very, very, very likely to experience some kind of sexual coercion, trauma, violence in their lifetime. We know that. And so, of course, if I have a lot of those people in my feed, many of them are like, I can't look. Someone posted today, I'm crying through the whole thing. Someone posted today, I'm screaming watching the whole thing. People are feeling triggered and are feeling this on a personal level. So like, talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Also, just feel free to fucking take a break, by the way. Like, we are all watching this, and so we can take turns. That's one thing I want to remind people, is that, like, you don't have to take it all in right now. But also, too, don't be afraid of those feelings. I think it's actually really great that we're emoting all this, and we're talking about it for the first time, and that usually is a good way to sort of help start changing the story in your own sort of healing process. Check in with your people, like, you know, check in with each other. A lot of times I'm not very good at taking care of myself, but I'm pretty good at taking care of other people, or even like taking care of my dog. So I'll take my dog for a walk out of guilt, but that will end up helping me. So get out of the house, get a walk, get in your body, like look at how your body, like, is your jaw clenched? Are you breathing really shallowly? Check in with that, because a lot of times it becomes this feedback cycle where we get tense because we're upset, and then we stay tense, and so then our body keeps producing that emotion. Whereas if we can actually unwind our body a little bit, then that will help the emotion kind of metabolize out as well.
Yeah, no, that's great advice, because people are having all sorts of feelings, and like I said at the top, this is both a very specific experience of two people, maybe three, that Dick who's not talking. And it's a stand-in for so many people's experiences, not of just being assaulted, but then of the aftermath, the not telling. Then if they do tell, all this backlash and questioning and bullshit. And so people are seeing a piece of their own experiences kind of relived in this huge public context where people can comment and say awful things. And it like behooves us to sort of check on all of our people and check in with ourselves and say, I mean, I like this idea that you said, I wanted to witness her. I wanted to witness her testimony. I wanted to witness her experience and her pain. But then it's like, I'm going to turn it off because I don't want to see these people then like bully her and browbeat her. And I don't want to hear what their opinions are of all the, you know, like, because they have lots of opinions about her experience, which is just so indicative of our patriarchal culture. And it's just, it's kind of devastating. It's devastating to watch it all unspool. And then these like women who've come forward, who've said, I'm like pro Kavanaugh, you know, that like upsets me on so many levels, that that he sort of deployed these women in his life to basically talk shit about her and deny her experience and question it and scrutinize it, which is, again, it feels like for people who've gone through these experiences that they're being questioned, they're being scrutinized, they're being discredited, they're being silenced. And if it can happen at this level, I mean, you know, so many people in my feed are also saying, hey, here's why I never spoke up about my sexual assault. And then they'll tell a story. And it's like, if someone who is has gone on to be an amazing person with tons of credibility, who's incredibly articulate, who told her family about this when it happened. All the things, all the check boxes, right? If someone like this cannot be believed, what is the hope of the sex worker who's been assaulted? What is the hope of the girl who went to the party and did have two beers? What is the hope of the person, you know, who's a freshman at college right now and is about to go into a situation where there's a potential for boundaries to be crossed? Like, what is the hope of, like, the everyday person if on this scale, this woman is being taken down and not believed?
Right.
It's hard. It's really fucking hard.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's take a commercial break.
Yeah.
We'll regather ourselves.
We'll take a few deep breaths.
Yeah, we'll take a few deep breaths. We'll meditate during the break so that we can be in good shape for you on the other side of it. So stay tuned. Raymond and I on the air talking shit about Kavanaugh and me also telling you about my life-changing experience in Brazil. So stay with us. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Have you gotten into virtual reality porn yet? I know lots of people who want to try it, but they just don't know where to go. Well, how about the site voted Best Virtual Reality Site 2018 at the AVN Awards? It's called Bedoink VR, and it has the world's best virtual reality porn library with over 240 videos and two new releases added every week. You know I like you to ethically consume your porn, so pay for it and get the good stuff. Start streaming immediately with unlimited downloads compatible with all major VR devices. Oculus, Vive, Gear VR, PSVR, Daydream, and all smartphones. It's easy to use, compatible with all VR headsets, and all subscribers receive free VR goggles when you sign up. Come on, that sounds great. Go to bedoinkvr.com, BadoinkVR.com/Tristan, and you'll get your first month for just $9.95. You definitely want to check it out. Go back to school with the Pleasure Chest with their free September workshops all month long in New York, LA, and Chicago. The Pleasure Chest is the only store to host a totally free weekly sex education program. By offering free, accessible, and inclusive pleasure-based education, they are staying true to their mission to help you have the best sex of your life. You can have all the new toys and goodies in your toolbox, but if you don't know how to use them, chances are you aren't getting the most out of them. So visit pleasurechest.com or swing by one of their locations nationwide for a free workshop this month on a range of topics such as multiple orgasms, sexual empowerment, threesomes, sober sex, and strap-on play. This month, you can also catch them and me at Sex Down South in Atlanta. If you're not able to make it to a Pleasure Chest store, you can always use the code Tristan at checkout on pleasurechest.com for a free massage candle with every purchase. Now get your ass to class.
Life on the Swing Set is heading to paradise for the seventh time, and once again, we're taking over Desire Resort Riviera Maya in Cancun, Mexico.
With this year's hosts, me, Cooper, Ginger, Dylan, JV and Shara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, and author, podcaster, and feminist porn filmmaker Tristan Taramino, our takeover allows us to mold the resort in our geeky, sexy, and inclusive image with orgies, classes about pegging, flogging, and fisting, theme nights, a full dungeon night, naked karaoke, mutual masturbation, and massages.
From November 3rd through the 10th, 2018, this beautiful all-inclusive resort will be full of sexy swing setters from every letter in the LGBTQA spectrum. Poly, swingers, nudists, kinksters, doms, subs, and those who are just curious about what a week at a sexy resort offers.
We take all the best of the swing set. Our values, our experience, our co-hosts, our community, and we bring it all together with the best resort staff on earth to create a queer, kink, and poly-friendly, consent-aware, and sexy-as-hell experience for everyone who joins us.
To come with us on our Swing Set Takes Desire 2018 trip and hear us podcast about our previous trips, head over to ssdesire.com. We'll be there to welcome you home.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Terramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Hey, welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It's Tristan and Raymond tearing up the airwaves today and also making A-Rod's job more difficult because we're so fucking loud. A-Rod's our engineer.
we're loud and we run long.
That's right.
You can't contain us. No.
You can't contain us. So we're going to switch gears here, and Raymond's going to do the interview of me.
Oh my gosh, Tristan Terramino, welcome back. You were just in Brazil. Where in Brazil were you? And what, because it was sort of, you kind of sprung it on me. You're like, by the way, I could be in Brazil in 2 weeks. I was like, oh, okay. So what, who got you down to Brazil? What sent you down there?
Yeah. So I actually, I probably knew about 6 weeks before, but then there was a series of things, which is I lost my passport.
Oh, geez.
And I didn't know if I was going to be able to get my new one in time. And then I had to get a visa. Because we don't have like a reciprocal agreement or whatever. And so there were things that needed to be in place. And I was like, is this all going to happen? So I didn't like jump on and say, hey,
yeah, no, I know how that goes. Yeah.
So I was speaking at this conference called Sex Box, Sexuality Outside the Box. It was the fourth annual conference, and it's essentially an LGBT. And let me say that in Brazil, it is always said this way. LGBTQIAP+. They're really into being inclusive. So in every
Wait, what's P?
P is pansexual.
Oh, pansexual. Okay.
Right.
I gotta keep
so,
up.
Whew, yeah, okay. I know. And so and people are saying the P could also be polyamorous, like the polyamorous folks could join us. So every time I did an interview, which was a fuck of a lot, I had to say LGBTQIAP+. So it's a queer centered conference. And they've taken on many themes. They've had a lot of different speakers. And this year, the organizer, who's the one who brought me, Pri Bertucci, who's an amazing human being, said, hey, you know, we've talked a lot about queerness and being trans and a trans experience and how to lift up people of color and their voices. And so I want to do this sort of radical thing this year, which is I want to talk about whiteness, heterosexuality, monogamy, and cisgender people.
Whoa, normcore.
Yeah, normcore. And masculinity was the other one, right? And so I thought, oh, this is really fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Instead of us just kind of bashing them and dismissing them, like, let's dig into these groups, these identities, and these social constructions, right? So so I found that fascinating. And I went primarily to talk about monogamy and non-monogamy. The entire conference is in Portuguese, which is the main language spoken because Portugal colonized that section of Brazil. It's Sao Paulo.
I was about to ask if you were in Sao Paulo.
Yeah,
okay.
Sao Paulo, just right in the middle.
Yeah.
And I had a translator who was doing translation for both media interviews and for my talks. People had headphones on. Mm-hmm. And there was simultaneous translation. And then I could attend some of the talks and have my headphones on and hear it translated into English. But not, I didn't have like a full-time translator to translate everything into English. So, you know.
Yeah. No, I've used that before. I've attended workshops that are like bilingual and you do the headset thing.
And then there was like one panel, which was Spanish, Portuguese, and English. I mean, there's a lot of language stuff, and you know, somehow we all figured it out. I mean, I can remember having dinner at a table with six people. Two people spoke English, two people spoke Portuguese, two people spoke Spanish, and somehow we're laughing until midnight. It was amazing, and so I got to experience a lot of queer and trans folks from not just all over Brazil, but also from other parts of Latin America. And I mean, there were so many moments. I sort of don't even know where to begin. But one thing that strikes me is when I sat down on the masculinities panel, I thought some of these folks are talking about living their lives as trans men. And there's so much that's universal here. There's things about being misgendered and misread, things about passing, things about feeling safe in certain spaces, things about healthcare. Once you change your gender marker in the country, it's changed in your healthcare system because it's socialized medicine.
Right.
So then when you go to get gynecological healthcare, it's denied.
You get declined, right.
So it's like the healthcare system hasn't caught up with, like, how do we do that? It's just the computer saying, this person's male, they can't be going for a pelvic exam, denied.
Right.
And so in some of these cases, there were these times when I just thought, oh my God, this experience is so universal. This is the experience I hear of trans people living in the United States, of trans people living in the UK, of trans people living in Australia. Like so much similarity. And then on the other hand, one of the most powerful speakers I heard speak is an activist named Nikita Dupuy Vargas. He is from Bogota, Colombia. He was the closing speaker, and my translator stayed just to translate for me and this one other American, which was very nice of her. And he spoke about what it's like to be trans in Bogota, Colombia. What it is like to live in a place where there is armed conflict happening. It's a war zone. He is like a very well-known trans activist there and talked about the police shooting trans people, like just because, for no reason. So there's a lot of police violence. He talked about, you know, at some point I was talking about, there are certain spaces like in Los Angeles, like when you're in a real queer space, like trans men can, you know, wear makeup and nail polish and wear a dress and be super genderqueer and like experiment with like gender fluidity. And he was like, yeah, so that gets you killed and murdered.
Wow.
There is no space for that.
Yeah.
If people are not passing, their lives are in danger. So there's this strict adherence to certain forms of masculinity and certain forms of self-expression and presentation. And then he told the story of trans women who had been murdered in the street by police. And because the police were somehow involved, the state took custody of their bodies. And in order to be released, a family member had to basically come claim them. Hi, Olive. Background.
I know, sorry.
And so he would call up these family members and say, you know, your child has been murdered and we want to bury them and we want to honor them with dignity. But the policy is that a blood family member has to first sign off, claim the body. And the family members would say, no, we don't know that person. They're dead to us already. That's not the person that I raised. That's not my daughter. That's not my sister. We ignore that person even existed, and we won't claim their body, and they can't even be buried.
I
was just like weeping during this thing. I mean, I was weeping.
Yeah, it's such that contrast of like what things are common dog experiences and what things are not. Like we do not know what that is like. You know.
Mm-hmm. And our privilege, our just insane amount of privilege that certainly trans people are being murdered in the U.S. And we have a tally of it, and trans women of color, and especially trans women of color sex workers. And so that's similar, but the depth and the level of violence against trans people, at least in his stories about Colombia, was just... wow. It was heartbreaking. And to feel like the trans men there don't have the freedom to even have a kind of softness in their masculinity, right? They don't even feel like they could drop their guard even for a minute because of the danger of it.
Right.
Oh God, it was so intense.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to take another commercial break.
Right. More deep breathing.
More debriefing. We're going to come back, listen to these great advertisers, including, incidentally, our newest advertiser, which is Bedoink Virtual Reality Porn. you know, guys, I want you to experience this virtual reality because it's so exciting. It's new technology. All the geeks have created this for us. We should, you know, bask in its glory. And I want you to pay for porn. So this is a really good advertiser because you can go there, you can sign up, you can get a little discount and still consume your virtual reality porn ethically. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we get back.
Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink-competent, sex-positive, queer-affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. Go back to school with the Pleasure Chest with their free September workshops all month long in New York, LA, and Chicago. The Pleasure Chest is the only store to host a totally free weekly sex education program. By offering free, accessible, and inclusive pleasure-based education, they are staying true to their mission to help you have the best sex of your life. You can have all the new toys and goodies in your toolbox, but if you don't know how to use them, chances are you aren't getting the most out of them. So visit pleasurechest.com or swing by one of their locations nationwide for a free workshop this month on a range of topics such as multiple orgasms, sexual empowerment, threesomes, sober sex, and strap-on play. This month, you can also catch them and me at Sex Down South in Atlanta. If you're not able to make it to a Pleasure Chest store, you can always use the code Tristan at checkout on pleasurechest.com for a free massage candle with every purchase. Now get your ass to class. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Have you gotten into virtual reality porn yet? I know lots of people who want to try it, but they just don't know where to go. Well, how about the site voted Best Virtual Reality Site 2018 at the AVN Awards? It's called Badoink VR, and it has the world's best virtual reality porn library with over 240 videos and 2 new releases added every week. You know I like you to ethically consume your porn, so pay for it and get the good stuff. Start streaming immediately with unlimited downloads compatible with all major VR devices. Oculus, Vive, Gear VR, PSVR, Daydream, and all smartphones. It's easy to use, compatible with all VR headsets, and all subscribers receive free VR goggles when you sign up. Come on, that sounds great. Go to badoinkvr.com, BADOINKVR.com/Tristan, and you'll get your first month for just $9.95. You definitely want to check it out.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I want to give a shout out to the Pleasure Chest, my enduring, supportive, amazing sponsor, and let you know what's going on in their stores this week. Their classes are all free. They're from 8 to 10 p.m., unless otherwise noted. In Los Angeles, September 30th, we've got Negotiation to Impact, Creating Meaningful Dom-Sub Dynamics, Part 1. And October 3rd, 10 Sexual Energies, A New Paradigm for Couples and Daters, with local presenter Susanna Brisk, who is incredible. New York City, October 3rd, Libido Liberation. And Chicago, October 3rd, Suck It, Lick It, Love It. Incidentally, I did a little shopping trip at the Pleasure Chest and took orders all the way from Brazil. Got a bunch of amazing toys, which are not available in Brazil. You know, opened my suitcase to a bunch of really happy Brazilians.
And
they also said,
I love the idea of you sliding open the trench coat with all.
Totally. And I didn't know that there's if you buy something from the Pleasure Chest in Brazil and it costs like $100. They pay $100 plus $120 more in tax and import fees.
Wow.
it more than doubles the price.
Damn, which is crazy.
So I was like, oh my God, yeah. I should have had a whole other suitcase. But Pleasure Chest sent me with like some free lube and some free condoms and just made a lot of people there very happy with their new toys. So thank you, Pleasure Chest, for you're like spreading love all over the world.
I know. I love that. I love that you're like the Johnny Appleseed of Pleasure Chest vibrators, like planting them in like countries.
Technically, I'm smuggling them.
I was going to ask. I was like, is this sort of illegal?
I'm sorry. Those are personal gifts. Samples. Personal gifts.
Yeah. Gifts. And then they gave you a gift of cash. Like, it's all good.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So who are some of these people that you were selling vibrators to? Who are some of the folks you met in Brazil?
Oh, my God. The people were amazing. I encourage people who don't follow me on Instagram to go to Instagram and see the pictures of all the amazing queer people that I met. There's one particular story that is pretty amazing, which is I gave my opening night talk on the downfall of monogamy. And there, I talked to a lot of people afterwards. And then this man approached me and introduced himself and said, hey, I'm a really avid Sex Out Loud listener and fan.
What?
And been listening for more than 3 years. It's changed my life. And I never imagined in a million years, like, you would be standing in front of me in the country that I live in. So then he went on to say, it's this great man. His name is Thiago Andrada. And he opened a new sex shop in Sao Paulo called Innuendo. It's only been open for 6 months. And he basically described listening to my show as a kind of a course in queerness, in trans politics, in alternative sexualities. He's a straight cis guy, and he's like, I want to create a space that is queer positive, trans positive, polyamorous positive, that is welcoming and embracing of all sexualities. It's sex positive, where sex positive isn't really like a thing in Brazil. There are certainly pockets of people who are practicing and cultivating it. And so he said, I basically listened to like every word of everything you've said, and I learned about things I never knew anything about, and I felt like a student. And so on Tuesday, I went over to visit the store. And first of all, it's beautiful. It's in a real fancy neighborhood, which I was glad. You know, like, I was in a lot of sort of like, you know, slightly sketchy neighborhoods, because that's where all the queers live. That's where like this art complex is. You know what I mean? Like, not the, you know, shishiest part. So the store's in a great neighborhood. It's very beautiful. It has that sort of clean, well-lit aesthetic of a kind of Pleasure Chest or Good Vibrations. It has very high-end toys, lots of silicone, you know, almost all imported, of course, because there isn't a Brazilian like manufacturing. And so I know now the backstory about the import taxes and how expensive that is. And, you know, I walked in and there was this huge pride flag that I could see from the door, and there was a gender neutral bathroom. I mean, he's really trying. He
That's
interviewed.
So amazing. Yeah. It sounds like he's doing it. He's not trying. Yeah, he's
doing it. And, you know, and this was just like totally, I mean, I've affected this person, and the show has affected this person, but I like never met him or knew of him or anything, right?
I know, yeah.
So he interviewed.
I find that so, it's so sort of, it's kind of humbling in a way. Like, I'm like, oh, people are listening, you know, but also like, I got to keep going. We got to keep going.
No, people are listening, and people are learning things, and people have a resource, right? Mm-hmm. But he's like, I just like study your episodes, and I've like created, you know, this philosophy, and I want it to be incorporated into my store. And it was very humbling. It was very overwhelming. It was just strange to think of, I don't know, to think of like touching all these people and you don't even know you did.
Yeah.
Like, incidentally, a side note, someone hit me up on Instagram and said, oh my God, I'm a giant fan of yours. I just saw that you were in Sao Paulo, but I can't attend your events. I'm so sad. Can I send you like a gift to your hotel?
Oh my gosh.
I was like, Tristan loves her some gifts. So of course you can.
Yes, you may.
Turned out she works in corporate at MAC Cosmetics.
Oh my gosh, she hooked you up, I bet.
It happens to be one of my favorite cosmetic brands. I literally only wear MAC lipstick. I've never worn another lipstick. It's an amazing brand, and I love them, and I love their products. And so this like gift bag appears at my hotel. We did try to meet up and it didn't work out. And everyone's very busy and, you know, everyone's got jobs, whatever. So right. We did try to meet up. It didn't work out. And then this bag appears, this gift bag at my hotel. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, what? I'm one in this country. What are you talking about?
You're not at swag level celebrity, Tristan Terrino.
I'm not.
No, I know you're not. I know, but that's why we're like, ooh, yeah.
And then
that's great, though. I mean, it is. It's also just it's nice to know that our fans are so awesome. You know.
Yeah. I know. And then I was lost on the street, and this is a true story. Like it was one of the sort of trickiest days because I didn't have anyone with me. Very few people speak English in right. Sao Paulo. It was not expected. I thought, oh, at the hotels, they'll speak English or at touristy spots, but they don't. They do not. So I'm sort of floundering around trying to figure out where I am and where I'm supposed to go. And a woman comes up to me on the street and says, you're Tristan Terramino.
Holy shit.
And I was like, I'm.
Yes, I am.
I don't know what the fuck is going on. And I'm like, yeah, I am. She was like, I didn't get to attend Sex Box, but all the talks for Sex Box went up on their Facebook page. So if people want to hear my talk in English.
Oh, nice.
And then anyone who speaks Portuguese want to hear all the other talks. And my English one is translated into Portuguese. They went up on their Facebook page. So just Facebook search Sex Box. It's SSEXBBOX. And she said, I just watched your talk and I was totally blown away by it. It was so amazing. And then her friends, who I guess she's meeting, right, come up and say, and she says, this is Tristan Terramino. And they're like, oh my God, she's been talking about you nonstop in this talk you gave. And I was like, is this really happening?
That's awesome. I love when the universe thinks stuff like that.
Yeah, it was just really lovely. And the queers there are so... they're so amazing and they're so radical and, God, they're also hot too. I mean, I organize orgy after orgy after orgy. And, you know, I almost had some people, you know, there's still a few that got away that I obviously need to go back to Brazil because I only got to kiss that person, but I really wanted more. I mean, I met these gay guys who I spent the whole day with on Tuesday. They took me to museums. Their names are Gima and Artur. And Gima is kind of a well-known gay guy. People do stop him on the street for Sky Vodka, and that's how we met. And Artur is a dancer. And they created this thing, this dance class, called Every Body Dance. And it's kind of what it sounds like. They wanted to create a dance class for people who are like intimidated by going to a dance class. People who may have different kinds of bodies, different kinds of gender presentations, like aren't athletic, you know, don't consider themselves dancers. So they created this thing together and it like really caught on and caught fire. And in fact, one of the people who goes to the class stopped us at the museum and was like, oh my God, it's you guys. I love that. Like I love to hear about these all projects that are happening that are so revolutionary that, you know, that are very small and they're very one-on-one and it's not going to get, you know, it's not going to go viral and it's not going to get national news, but it's like making a difference in queer and trans people's lives.
Yeah. It's that real, like that real life community that happens too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just unbelievable. Okay. We got to take another break. This has been really fun to catch you up, Raymond.
It's been fun for me, too. And okay. I hope fun for everyone else who's listening in on our conversation.
So when we come back, I want to talk about gender and language in Portuguese and in Brazilian culture and tell another, I don't know, sexy story or something. So stay with us, more with Raymond and I when we get back.
Life on the Swing Set is heading to paradise for the 7th time, and once again, we're taking over Desire Resort Riviera Maya in Cancun, Mexico.
With this year's hosts, me, Cooper, Ginger, Dylan, JV and Char from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, and author, podcaster, and feminist porn filmmaker Tristan Terramino, our takeover allows us to mold the resort in our geeky, sexy, and inclusive image with orgies, classes about pegging, flogging, and fisting, theme nights, a full dungeon night, naked karaoke, mutual masturbation, and massages.
From November 3rd through the 10th, 2018, this beautiful all-inclusive resort will be full of sexy swing setters from every letter in the LGBTQA spectrum. Poly, swingers, nudists, kinksters, doms, subs, and those who are just curious about what a week at a sexy resort offers.
We take all the best of the swing set, our values, our experience, our co-hosts, our community, and we bring it all together with the best resort staff on earth to create a queer, kink, and poly-friendly, consent-aware, and sexy-as-hell experience for everyone who joins us.
To come with us on our Swing Set Takes Desire 2018 trip and hear us podcast about our previous trips, head over to ssdesire.com. We'll be there to welcome you home.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Have you gotten into virtual reality porn yet? I know lots of people who want to try it, but they just don't know where to go. Well, how about the site voted Best Virtual Reality Site 2018 at the AVN Awards? It's called Badoink VR, and it has the world's best virtual reality porn library with over 240 videos and two new releases added every week. You know I like you to ethically consume your porn, so pay for it and get the good stuff. Start streaming immediately with unlimited downloads compatible with all major VR devices, Oculus, Vive, Gear VR, PSVR, Daydream, and all smartphones. It's easy to use, compatible with all VR headsets, and all subscribers receive free VR goggles when you sign up. Come on, that sounds great. Go to badoinkvr.com, BADOINKVR.com/Tristan, and you'll get your first month for just $9.95. You definitely want to check it out. Go back to school with the Pleasure Chest with their free September workshops all month long in New York, LA, and Chicago. The Pleasure Chest is the only store to host a totally free weekly sex education program. By offering free, accessible, and inclusive pleasure-based education, they are staying true to their mission to help you have the best sex of your life. You can have all the new toys and goodies in your toolbox, but if you don't know how to use them, chances are you aren't getting the most out of them. So visit pleasurechest.com or swing by one of their locations nationwide for a free workshop this month on a range of topics such as multiple orgasms, sexual empowerment, threesomes, sober sex, and strap-on play. This month, you can also catch them and me at Sex Down South in Atlanta. If you're not able to make it to a Pleasure Chest store, you can always use the code Tristan at checkout on pleasurechest.com for a free massage candle with every purchase. Now get your ass to class.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I have so many stories that I have to like curate them for you. I just told a whole story about Brazilian lemonade and my love affair with it to Raymond, but I thought that might not be as like exciting for you guys. So if anyone wants to know the story, I'll share it.
That's just a tease. Just Google Brazilian lemonade.
No, yeah. See what I could possibly be talking about. I'm sure I'll do like a whole Instagram like rant about it. So one of the things that I found out, and I was in a very queer and trans space, but is that in terms of language, the X is being utilized a ton in Sao Paulo. So much like we have adopted Latinx to mean a gender neutral, instead of saying Latino or Latina, we now say Latinx to invite all genders. There's a similar thing in that in Portuguese, the language is very, very, very gendered. Every word is like feminine or masculine. And also, sometimes when you say things, if you're a woman, you have to say it one way. And if you're a man, you have to say it another way. So, for example, thank you is obrigada for me. But if you said thank you to someone, you would say obrigado.
Wow. Okay.
Right. So it's like a lot to keep track of. And so, so what you began seeing is the use of the X. Like I saw a poster for something for queer people and it said queer edex. Like instead of queery dos and queery das, it said queery dex. And I saw the X a lot of places as being more inclusive. But it's really challenging because that language doesn't have a way to sort of degender it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's that a lot of the romance languages are that way. Like French has, I remember having to like, not only do I have to learn this word, but I have to learn what pronoun it is, you know, and things
right.
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they had these buttons, L, Ella, and Eel. So L-E-L-E, Ella, E-L-A. E-L-E is him or he. Ella is she or her. And then they've created a word that's actually not a real word called Eel, I-L-E, which means they and them.
Oh, nice.
So that's another interesting kind of intervention, right? We're going to use the X in various places, but also they have no they and them. There are people in Sao Paulo who identify as non-binary, who right. identify as genderqueer, who want to use a gender-neutral pronoun and actually don't have one in the language. So they've made one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind That's of love cool. that, you know,
yeah.
that language actually can evolve and that it can change and you can Absolutely. Introduce new words.
Absolutely.
You know, that seemed, oh, that just seemed so great. I just love that. Also, Pri Bertucci, who is the sort of one of the masterminds behind the whole thing, co-founder and CEO, is a really amazing non-binary human being who obviously like gives their entire life to this event. You know, it's the person you see who clearly like hasn't slept in 2 weeks,
right?
And juggling like 1,000 things at once, and they're everywhere and nowhere, and I was just so impressed. I mean, I have this person to thank for being invited there, for me being able to meet people. One of the only other American speaker was Fresh White, who you got to know, Mr. Raymond. Okay, so Fresh White shows up, and I know the name Fresh White.
I was going to say, I feel like I know that name.
You know Fresh
yeah.
White, right. And so Fresh White is a Black trans guy who is from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And is also a mindfulness coach.
Oh, yeah. San Francisco Zen Center. Is that?
Yes. And yes. So, and he's also done some stuff for against the grain? No, it's I'm not even going to say his name. Anyway, okay. He does a lot of stuff. And he also does diversity trainings and stuff for corporate environments. But he led a whole workshop on self-care and mindfulness centering trans and queer people.
Nice.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And it was so unexpected to like go there where Catholicism, basically either everyone's Catholic or they're all like railing against Catholicism, you know,
right.
And so to meet someone else Buddhist there, I was like, wait, how did I come all the way to Brazil? And then now what?
Right. To meet an American Buddhist. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So that was actually a really amazing class that he did. And I felt like it was introducing people to a very new concept because religion is a really big thing there. Like
yeah.
someone came up to me at the end of one of my talks and said, I'm looking for a book recommendation. And I do read English about how to transcend guilt and shame that you've learned about your body and about sexuality through religion. And specifically
yeah.
through Catholicism and Christianity. And I thought, okay, that's, first of all, has that book been written? It should be written.
I feel like it's sort of geared towards Christians healing their, like queer Christians, like healing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so they're sort of reconciling their own relationship to Christianity and whatnot. Mm. But I don't know about people I'm sure there's people who've like left the church and had that sort of working through the shame as well.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to figure him out. We'll make him be a guest on the show.
I know. So yeah, so religion definitely loomed large and is a major player in that culture and affecting ideas about sex, gender, sexuality, relationships, monogamy. Oh my God. A-Rod is telling us we're out of time.
We're out of time.
I think he's lying. A-Rod, are we really out of time?
Oh, no. It's 8:56. Okay.
We're out of time. Okay. So that happened. Everyone should just follow me on social media because I'm 2 days behind even in my activities and my pictures. And so I'm going to be rolling out even more pictures and stories as the weeks go on because there were so, so many. Thanks for letting me catch up with you.
thanks for telling me all your stories from Brazil. I definitely want to go. I'll come next year. That lives.
Yeah, so come next year. And I've heard we're supposed to go in February because it's Carnival.
Oh, yes.
Which looks amazing. Okay, so I want to thank Karen Dana, executive producer, senior producer, and today the interviewer, Raymond Johnson, A-Rod, my engineer, announcer Cooper Beckett, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We've got a whole bunch of live shows coming up and a lot of amazing guests for the fall. Raymond just shared the lineup and I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. So we're going to have a lot of really cool guests. And I need to go maybe have a nap, just a little bit of a nap. And hopefully I won't feel jet lagged. I don't know, by next week.
Don't sleep for a week.
I won't sleep for a week, but I need to have a nap.
A nap is allowed.
How can people find you on the interwebs?
At Raymond J at Twitter. That's mostly where I hang out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, and if you're freaking out about Kavanaugh, he'll have some words of wisdom up there on the social media for you. And I wish all of us luck in witnessing this total shit show over the next week, because apparently it's not over. Okay, till next time, people. Greetings from jet lag Tristan. Bye, Raymond.
Bye.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.